Welcome to Full Access OK. I'm Skyler Cooper, along with Steve Berg.
Top of the morning to you, or whatever time of day you're listening.
Yeah, could be midnight. Thanks for listening overnights. You know us from 102.3 KRMG, Tulsa's News and Talk, the KRMG Afternoon News every weekday, 4 to 6 p.m. If you don't, well, check us out there, too. But thanks for being here on Full Access OK. Fun episode this week.
Yeah, this is one we've been wanting to do for a while, BMX racing, but especially the brand spanking new USA BMX headquarters in Tulsa. That's right, just like the name would suggest, the national headquarters for this very popular, fast-growing sport is right here in Tulsa.
And we wouldn't blame you if you maybe thought it already was, because they've been holding the USA BMX Grand Nationals, or Grands as they call it, here in Tulsa at the Expo Center for many years. They still actually do. But last year, they took it a step further, and Tulsa became the new home for the group's headquarters.
We talked to USA BMX president Shane Fernandez, who's also a local architect who has called Tulsa home for many years now, to get the lowdown.
Let me ask it this way. USA BMX here in Tulsa is the national headquarters for the sport, correct?
That's correct. And USA BMX is also BMX Canada, so we are the largest cycling organization in North America.
But Tulsa wasn't always the headquarters. Right? That only happened fairly recently?
That's correct. So the company is actually originally out of Arizona, so Gilbert, Arizona, where some of the staff still is. So I think it was in 2014 was when Tulsa first got pretty serious about recruiting the company to move the headquarters here to Tulsa.
So how did that happen? How did Tulsa become the center of the BMX universe, or at least here in North America?
Well, it's a really cool story. So Oklahoma in itself had been the center of the BMX community for some decades before the actual move. So in the BMX world, the Grand National Championships happened every Thanksgiving, the week of Thanksgiving. So it's anywhere in the world, if you're talking to a foreign athlete and you say the term Thanksgiving, even though they don't celebrate it, they would say Oklahoma, because that entire week in the BMX community was the biggest race on the planet, right? So it's a week long. And it was traditionally held between Oklahoma City and Tulsa. So in the BMX community, Oklahoma was very familiar because people from around the world would travel here. In 2014, back then, Mayor Bartlett had said, hey, got this vision package coming up. How cool would it be if they just relocated here? They're here anyway, and we're in the center of the United States. And he said, go talk to them and see if you can't get them to move here, and we can figure something out. So it's really started with something that basic.
So almost 10 years ago, and then it opens in 2022. To put it simply, what took so long? What were those conversations like and the logistics of making it happen?
Yeah, it's a little intimidating and inspirational at the same time. So you have to imagine, one of the things Mayor Bartlett said at the time, he said, well, you're from L.A., you're from the West Coast, you did BMX and motocross. And he said, really, I think just talk first about why, I chose to live in Tulsa and that would resonate. The other thing, too, was, where in Tulsa? So I had to, my background is actually architecture, urban design, and construction. So from that perspective, leveraging that expertise to figure out, what does this look like? How much does it cost? Where can it be politically? So in terms of timeline, you're trying to manage that with the process of the vision, the vision package, right? And all the other projects that have that were also in that package, right? Everything from the convention center to the zoo and everything else, right? So so really it was navigating first the politics, and then it was navigating the logistics of making this work. Obviously it did. It made the vote. Then the package comes, and then, of course, COVID hits, right? So, actually, if you take a look at it in terms of a project of this scale, the city of Tulsa did an excellent job, and so did the community in terms of rallying around the philosophy of what this could do for the community. And once the project got going from a construction standpoint and a design standpoint, I mean, all the entities and the team players moved fast and hard considering what happened during the world when this project happened. So, yeah, we're really proud of all the challenges that we were able to overcome.
Let's take it down to the basics of what is BMX and what happens here at this Amazing facility.
Yeah, so BMX stands for bicycle motocross at the very basic level. So for, you know, guys my age, you think about, all right, Evel Knievel, right? That's where it starts. So, you know, we are sitting in the National BMX Hall of Fame. So it's a museum that really tells the story you're getting ready to hear of what is BMX. So the first bike you see is, an homage to Evel Knievel and really... All the kids that would watch Evel Knievel on a motorcycle, they couldn't afford the motorcycle, and we had bicycles, and we would create, you know, you'd start racing your friends, jumping off curbs, doing skids, building homemade ramps, you know, that kind of stuff. Interestingly enough, as a culture, that grew extremely fast across the country, so that's grown exponentially now. So the sport right now, you know, we're hovering at about 50,000 members in the United States. That's not including Canada. 320 tracks, and it's an Olympic sport now going 5 years in the running, going into Paris in this year, right? So, and two disciplines. You have racing, so going around a track at, the pros are going 30, 40 miles an hour, very fast pace, very explosive. And then you have the freestyle side, which, you see like X Games, right? So they're doing ramps and tricks and backflips and things like that. So, our members go from 3 years old all the way up to 75 years old. It's truly probably the only sport where you can have three generations of family members participating, grandparents, parents, and kids, not uncommon, to be all competing on the same course, like side by side with an Olympian, right? So it's pretty interesting in terms of that.
We were both surprised at how big this place is. You don't really realize it until you drive up. You may have seen it from a distance. It's on the far northeast corner of downtown, just outside the IDL. It's an old industrial site.
Yeah, so it's part offices, part museum. It's actually the USA BMX Hall of Fame with lots of cool exhibits and vintage bicycles.
And a really big part, the racing and training track, state-of-the-art, by the way, with sensors that coaches can use that can analyze racers' kinetic energy kind of in real time, Shane said. There's even special dirt on the track.
The best of the best, he told us, come to Tulsa all the time to both train and compete. In fact, there's a little thing called the World Cup coming here next year.
It's pretty neat when you take a look at that that list, and it's, you know, Australia, Netherlands, Pompadour, and then Tulsa. And that's all in preparation for the Olympics in Paris. So all of that all happens at this facility. The other interesting thing that's been happening, too, is we have corporate events where people are renting the track and they're having, you know, either board meetings or using this educational space. So they're having corporate board meetings and then doing team building exercises afterwards. So we had Live Golf here, which was really interesting a couple months ago, especially for our Olympians and, of course, some of the best players in golf to combine and be out on the track together. And we've had a Wall Street biker rally. We've had, Arvis and Williams, some of their corporate leaders come here and Northwestern Mutual and things like that. So it's been a really cool mix of the community coming together and blending with world-class athletes.
So pro golfers, some of the best pro golfers in the world, you had them out on, I guess, loaner bicycles out on the track?
Yeah, so some of them, I'm sure that they had, like, their agents were like, hey, you cannot get on that track. There were some people out on the track. It was really neat when I got a chance to meet and talk quickly with Phil Mickelson and his, I guess it would be his agent or somebody was with him, and he told me they said, Phil doesn't typically go to these mixers, and Phil said, but this is BMX, and he goes, I could not miss this. So yeah, it was really neat, and I guess Bubba Watson's a huge BMX fan and things like it, and Fowler as well, actually. Motocross background and a funny story that where his parents made him pick between motocross and golf. And he picked golf.
A little easier on the body.
Yeah. So, it's been neat, whether it's been politicians or golfers or executives, Olympians, kids just coming in for camp. The other big thing we've done that we're really proud of is the RISE program. So our foundation launched a program specifically aimed towards North Tulsa and the Greenwood District, specifically designed to empower underserved youth. And that is taking off exponentially. So that was a, an idea that came out of some conversations that we had had in terms of just empowering Greenwood, North Tulsa. I had talked with Dr. Tiffany Crutcher during a town hall meeting, and we were looking at, you know, the way the model works is we adopt a local nonprofit that specializes and knows the community. And with the first pilot program coming out of Tulsa, we wanted it to, you know, obviously for this to be ground zero for this program nationally. And Dr. Crutcher has been amazing. This is, I think tonight we'll graduate the third class. And these kids are leaving with bicycles and helmets. And you see the blue cruisers out there. One of the parents are now leaving with bicycles. Some of these kids didn't know how to ride bikes. And last year at our Grand National Championships, again, the biggest race in BMX history, three of the kids out of the Rise program raced, raced that event against the world's fastest kids. And one of them almost qualified for the main. In fact, he would have had his shoe not slipped off in one of the turns. He was in second place and his shoe slipped off. So I had said something during the ribbon cutting that I was bound to determine for a national champion to come out of this neighborhood, and that we're going to make it happen. So that's been fun to see too.
It's so cool. I'm thinking about, you know, every kid, like that foundational piece of your childhood being you get a bike.
Yeah.
And where do you go with it? So you spotted the one over here that reminded you of your nod to Evel Knievel.
Oh yeah, absolutely. The banana seat chopper handlebars.
Yeah. That's right.
And in my case, you know, I grew up riding the bike up and down the street until that thing got a motor on it and turned into my youth of dirt bikes, four wheelers, and motocross. And it's cool, Shane, to see how, you know, you can go in all these different paths. I've given up my motocross days due to too many injuries and just ran out of talent, as they say. But it all takes you somewhere.
Yeah, and we're working with USA Cycling, and you know, the national team is here. And one of the things we talk about is that BMX is really so foundational. You take a look at the top road cyclists, the top downhill mountain bike racers, even like the top cross country mountain bike racers. Many of them are BMX backgrounds, right? So it's been interesting to see a resurgence of purposeful training and cross training on the BMX platform to increase those skills, because as they're watching some of these champions come up and they're looking at the history, they're like, oh my gosh, they started in BMX. So yeah, there's multiple pipelines and career paths that we're watching the athletes come out of.
So just picture it, Phil Mickelson and Ricky Fowler getting BMX fever. And Skyler, I think we felt it too. You see those hills and jumps, especially you with your, what do you call it again?
Motocross
background. And suddenly you're a kid again and you want to just hop on a bike and ride.
Yeah, absolutely. And how awesome it is that they look to connect with everyone from the biggest golf star to just a little kid in an underserved neighborhood who's never ridden a bike.
And Tulsa gets a lot in return in the form of tourist dollars, economic impact, name recognition around the country. It puts around the world, really. It puts us on the map with a lot of people, much like Tulsa Tough and the PGA Championships.
What do you see the future looking like here? Obviously, I would imagine that growth is in the plan.
Yeah, yeah. So absolutely. So what you're seeing right now is we have the racing facility. So in the works right now to add freestyle to that. So add that big second discipline and bring those champions to Tulsa and to bring those events to Tulsa. So right now, all the events that we've brought to Tulsa are racing specific. My goal is to double that on the freestyle side too. So that is in the works, which is great. The other thing that we're doing too is with my background in architecture, engineering, and construction, there's another business unit that's launched that Tulsa doesn't see, but the nation is seeing. So we're now on the National Parks Board. So we're designing other action parks across the country and interest in other worlds, because people can see what this is doing, right? So leveraging my background, and now we are guiding other facilities and their master planning and their design for what does a state-of-the-art cycling facility looks like. And if I have a committee of the best athletes in the world saying, hey, the design should be this, imagine how we can change the trajectory, right? Well, that's going to start creating architectural engineering jobs here as that unit starts growing too. So it's been interesting in terms of, and our foundation is growing incredibly. So the storytelling out of Tulsa is now rippling into other cities. So now we are having to create a model that I can then model in five other cities, let's say next year. So we're going to start needing some grant writers. We're going to have to model this, train other cities how to do it. And then as these other facilities grow, start plugging that in. So you can see the foundation as I'm looking at the space we have here to add staff. I'm looking at foundation growth. So my job's to look 5 years ahead, foundation growth, architectural engineering growth, and then I'm looking, okay, if I have more U.S. national team members here and Olympic team members, both on racing and freestyle, and all the associated care that they need, whether it's medical, training, psychological, all that, I gotta start considering some other offices for sure. I would also say, too, another thing that was key in the team staying with Tulsa was Tulsa. All the placemaking initiatives Tulsa has done, the kindness of the people in Tulsa, the things that are happening in downtown and river development, all the things that everybody here in this community has invested in placemaking, all of that has resonated. It wasn't just Expo. It was the fact that Tulsa was changing, because you had to convince the staff that Tulsa was a cool place to live. Here's what's been interesting is that, you know, a lot of our staff members have moved. Most of their children have moved. Yeah, so we have three of our leadership team members, all of their children have moved to go to college here. Wow. Yeah, in fact, one of them just literally last week moved to go to TU Law. So that tells you something, right?
They like it here.
Yeah. So, you know, kudos to everybody in Tulsa that their target was to attract young creative talent, because I'm literally seeing it happen here, at least in our industry. We've also had roughly 15 families move to Tulsa because of this center that don't necessarily work for us. They've come here to train, they've fallen in love, and then they're like, hey, we've moved here. I'm like, that's awesome.
So, man, when you think about it, lots of pieces had to fall into place to make this all happen. Sometimes completely random ones, like, say, a bunch of oil men and women back in the 1960s building an expo center that many, many years later becomes a great venue for a dirt BMX track.
Yeah, I mean, not only the BMX, but when you look at that one building alone, the Chili Bowl, I mean, there's so many examples. And you had a lot of hard work by people at the Sports Commission, too, for BMX. It was hard work by Shane to recruit USA BMX.
And the people of Tulsa, of course, did their part when they passed the Vision Plan extension back in 2016. That provided the money that built the headquarters.
Go check it out just as a spectator, or better yet, they'll even let you, after you sign a waiver, of course, go out on the track and ride. And Steve, I intend to do that, because standing on top of the pro level starting line like we did,
yeah,
it gave me the itch. I want to go try it.
Doesn't make your collarbone hurt? Skyler broke his collarbone.
He did say that that's the most common BMX injury. So, no, mine's like fortified, so I think I'm good. Well, thanks for checking this out, this episode of Full Access OK. It was a lot of fun to go out to USA BMX. Highly recommend you check it out. Like we said, even if it's just to look, maybe to try it out, maybe take the kids. If you have a really young kid, they want to start them super early, and maybe they could be an Olympian one day. Feel free to share this podcast, tell your friends about it, and put it up on your social media channel. This has been Full Access OK.